previous discussion that we were having, and the discussion, possibly the time was short, so we couldn't complete that discussion. The subject was important, and it was important for this reason, that regards to the hereafter and salvation, forgiveness is the biggest means. I'm not saying this, rather the head of Medina sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated this. So today, if we don't understand that point, it's not a point, it's a reality. It's a reality. There are many other points in Masle. This is reality, the truth. And if this truth and reality, we don't understand it today, then tomorrow we cannot attain salvation, forgiveness, my friends. Allah's millions and millions and millions of times over, shukr. We should be grateful. For which reason should we be grateful and do shukr? That just like the Sahaba did shukr, the Sahaba, their shukr was this, that today the head of Medina sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the master of Medina, says, what nasiha did he give today? Today. And so much on that nasiha, on those words, did they give all of their lives. That Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, such a sahabi, he gave a duty to another friend of his, another sahabi, that, Yar, if I don't reach there, right, that what you do is you go to the gathering, hear the words, and come back and tell me everything. Subhanallah. And the day you don't go, I'll replace you, and I'll tell you everything. We'll take turns. This was the importance they laid. The pious predecessors have said that the best day for a human being is that day, at that time when he receives a nasiha, advice. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. The best day for a person is that day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, via another person, to that person, he makes apparent his defect. He tells him, you're weak in this aspect, which is taking him to Jahannam, to hell. Or someone saves him from such a sharp bend, a danger, or nafs has overtaken that person. Nafs has overwhelmed him. Nafs has taken him close to hell. And that person tells him a word, and he doesn't want to hear those words. And if someone explains to him, he says, you're talking rubbish, you are my enemy, I don't want to hear what you're saying, don't tell me. Such an emotion can take a person over, that even if there's something wrong, he doesn't want to hear his wrongdoings. That there's no need to tell me, go on your own way, worry about yourself. So when such a person, when he's in desperate deception and delusion in life and darkness, that insan, alhamdulillah, when Allah takes him to such a place, or nasiha he attains, and he embraces that nasiha, Allah Ta'ala, his every action becomes easy for him then after that. Subhanallah. This is called doing shukr to Allah. And this majalis, these gatherings, very hard to find these gatherings. Very hard. These nasihas, lengthy bayan, tafsirs, and darsul Qur'an, that happened. No. This is not that. This is such a discussion that comes from the pain in the heart. Whose pain? Whose pain? Who is a correct, upright, total, a person following the deen totally? When his, from his heart emanates these words, I'll tell you beyond this, the explanation of this point, that at the moment I'm just introducing. Yes, I was thinking today that condition was a bit down. What shall I say today to them? I didn't know what to say. What discussion shall we have today? So obviously, that we had to complete that discussion from before, the prior discussion we had. So, alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala, we do dua. Allah will start, and you end Allah. You allow the end to come. Subhanallah. So it's not me, it's not my people, it's your patients, Allah. Your patients, their patients, I'm a patient, we're sick, they're sick, I'll cure with the solution, they'll come with the solution. So brothers, when nasihas come to us, words come to us, then we should immediately be grateful to Allah, do shukr. And something that's hard to practice, nasihas come to us. Now it's hard for us to do this. Yaar, how will I do this? How do I leave that sin? How do I leave that action? Don't go opposite to that. Don't make your heart tight. Don't make your heart stingy and miser, then Allah will release you. Say, oh, because a big message comes from Allah. So don't make your heart tight. Don't make your mind small. Don't make a mood. Don't be put off. Don't get angry. Rather say, Allah, you have unraveled the secret to me. You also help me now. Allah, I am dropped down. How can I do this? How will I be saved from this? Allah, I'm down. I'm falling down on the ground. It's hard for me to come in. Allah, you've opened my heart that this is wrong what I'm doing. That I thought this was good. It was okay. My salah, fasting, hajj, zakah, zikr, all of this is going to waste down the drain. Allah, can't do nothing. I'm useless. I've understood. But I'm stuck today, Allah, in the trap. How do I get out of this trap, Allah? From interest, from sood, from this dark situation. This has ensnared me. This has entrapped me. Allah, I am weak. Say, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Then what should a person do? Just make one solution. No other assistance. Pick up your hands and go to Allah. Pick up your hands and go to Allah. That's the only solution. Allah, this is too hard for me. Allah, you have the solution. I've understood. Totally, I want to leave this. I'm wrong. But how do I take the jump? How do I take the jump, Allah? And be extremely, say, Allah, I'm extremely grateful to you. And this wasila that you created through which you delivered this message to me. Allah, I'm so grateful, grateful. Because this was that one person who could do this work, that who loves me more than his mother and father. Subhanallah. Even the father can trick you sometimes. Oh, khair, it's okay, son. Even mother will say to you, it's okay, my son, it's okay. But this person who told me, he wants to save me from Jahannam. That's why he's telling me these things. Should we mind his words? Should we be upset? We should be happy. We should give dua to that person, shouldn't we? Who gives us the true message. We should raise our hands. I do dua over and over again. Who has saved our nasal, Hazrat Sahib, my Sheikh. Subhanallah. Ay Allah, not me. He saved my generations, not just me. Why? Because we went with the right niyat, the intention. Obviously, we don't say that, oh, I was given beets with a stick. Oh, pantia. My Sheikh gave me pantia. He's too strict and too hard. No. These things happen with me sometimes. There was firmness. Even with my family folk, we were told off. My family were told off. You'd be amazed. At that time, we were afraid of two things. Allah, this telling off strictness, that may not be your upset and displeasure. Rather, it may be your love. That may he not be upset. What do we say? Oh, he's hitting me. He's throwing the shoes at me. He's doing bezdi. He's dishonoring me. We are negative in our thinking. And what did I used to think? That Allah, when my Shaykh, when these words arrive to me, then Allah, I make one request to you. May he not be upset with me. May he not be displeased with me, angry with me. Rather, may he be strict with me because he wants to do my islah. He wants to rectify me. So that even 1% of negativeness should go to him. Shouldn't even think 1%. That after embracing his nisa, I would feel that, how do I do his khidmat now? How shall I make him more happy? That subhanAllah, my Shaykh, my teacher, you have achieved greatness by rectifying me. Then the doors of rahmah open up. I swear by Allah, such sicknesses, such sins, the teacher saves you. That a person's trapped in darkness, there's hard, is no chance for him to come out of that trap. Say subhanAllah, subhanAllah, subhanAllah. Darvesh, when you come to their court, never leave empty-handed without hope. Rather be hopeful of Jannah when you leave their court, their gathering. Never should you lack hope. You're sinful, you made mistake. We're full of mistakes. Alhamdulillah. I'm so happy some people came. They listened to the nasiha, they listened to the discussion. And I felt that they sought forgiveness, that we made a mistake, we've done wrong. No problem. If some point pricks your heart, and it pierces your heart, is immediately say to your Shaykh, I've made a mistake. Please forgive me and tell me that with God's grace, what shall I do now? Yes, you said that this is a mistake. I've made a lot of mistakes. I've made these mistakes. I'm doing this. Please tell me the masala. Is this right or is this wrong? So that I can progress further. I'm stuck. I'm in a trap. I'm distressed. Don't try to suppress it and hide your mistakes. Who are you trying to hide from? Allah? At that time when we present it to Allah in His court, then what? No, don't wait till then. So in the beginning I've spoken in such a way, alhamdulillah, such a beautiful effect has taken its course on this majlis. Subhanallah. This is from Allah. Allah Ta'ala allows everything to happen. Such an important point this was. That maybe now remember our previous discussion. What did I say? We were discussing that everything has a ruh. Yes, I'll remind you. Yes, the words. Yeah, everything has a ruh. That we hear a lot of things nowadays. It's the season of speeches. Sometimes you have his speech, sometimes his bayan, sometimes Khatam Khwajgan, sometimes his Khatam Khwajgan. So this has happened, isn't it? All four corners everywhere. So for this reason, I want to remind you, I don't know what's in your minds now, so I'll repeat the words of this fakir. Revise them. Say subhanAllah, subhanAllah. So what happened, we were thinking the other day, that in the end the conclusion was, that everything has a ruh, the deen. Remember, this was the subject. Without the deen, we cannot say. In this hadith as well, that everything to protect it,
Where's the protection? In the deen. This hadith of the gracious Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the holy Prophet. So everything has a ruh, a soul. And the ruh of the body and our soul is in the deen. Remember? And the soul of our deen is what? Remember the sabak? MashaAllah, well done, good. Where's the ruh of the deen? Is in akhlaq. And the ruh of akhlaq is in raham, mercy, MashaAllah. And then, what do we need to do now? You come to the masjid, and the destinations come to us, and all the success for the individual in the hereafter will be based on raham, mercy. Raham, the name of raham is also deen. The other name of raham is also deen. Look, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, now we started. Yes, now it's coming out slowly, slowly. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu stated that the gracious Prophet was once walking. Abdullah, another sahabi was with him, Abdul Rahman radiallahu anhu. And the gracious Prophet stopped and asked, now look, how the point is being opened up, because we have to prepare for Jannah, isn't it? Paradise. So he said that, the gracious Prophet said to him, his blessed lips are moving now, mashallah. He said, this man, the Nasiyah is coming, pay attention. What does he want, this person? That Jahannam's ashes, the heat and the fire, he wants to be safe from that. He wants protection from that. Protection from that. These were the words. Such a great statement. Such a great statement. The Prophet, the big clue is being given to us here. The fire of hell, not just the fire, it's ashes, the heat from the fire. To get protection from that. No water generator machine of this world, universe can cool the heat of hellfire. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made hellfire like this. That 1,000 years of the hereafter, not years of this world. Oh Allah, forget about corona. Lengthier than that. 100,000 years. 1,000 years of the hereafter, according to Allah's selection, Allah's hikmah, Allah burned the fire. That fire became red. Then Allah burnt it again. Another 1,000 years after burning red, then it burnt white. Then Allah burnt it another 1,000 years of the hereafter. It burnt to black. And after black, it's so intense, so dark is the blackness, that if I give the example, we cannot even understand what is the blackness of the hellfire. There's no example to explain it. That fire, this is a hadith in Tirmidhi, my friends. This is the reality that Rasulullah is telling us how to get protection from this fire, the black fire. Rasulullah is telling us how to get protection from the heat of this fire. He's telling us such an action that you'll be protected, insurance from that fire. But the fire is very close to us today. We lie, the fire, we've gone into, we backbite, we go into that fire, we have envy, jealousy, we go into that fire, we take someone's money, we go into that fire, we say something wrong, we think something wrong about someone, we go into fire. You dishonor your mother, forget about going, you've jumped into that fire. Whoever has dishonored his mother, who's dishonored his father, disrespected his father, disrespected his brothers and sisters, disrespected his family, disrespected his sheikh, disrespected his elders, all these day and night, these games are being played today. How close are we? We are immersed, drowned. But today, Allah's rahmah is showering down, raining down. And these words are being distributed, alhamdulillah. Amal, we're getting the action. That's it, a man gets saved from the hellfire. Yes, it's no big point. No big lengthy statement that the Prophet says, do ibad all night long, pray salah. He gave us concise, brief advice. Allah gave 50 salah, Rasulullah shortened it, summarized. And reduce it to five. How many? Five. When Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Allah ta'ala and Rasulullah speaking, he said that I'm going to do this, I'm your Rabb. I'm not going to give you hardship. That I will reduce your money, but I'll give you barakat, Allah says, blessings. Prayer five times, but I'll give you thawab of 50. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. This is Allah, Rabbul Alameen. And these are the words of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah ta'ala gave us a brief shortcut of ibadah. It's not hard to practice the deen. Nafs, your desires make the deen hard. Desires. If you don't, you can't even pray salah, it's nafs that makes it hard for you. Namaz is natural for you human being. Easy, very to pray salah. Natural. We can't keep the fast, but fasting is natural. Yes, aren't you sat here hungry? You're enjoying it. You're enjoying it, aren't you? Rejoicing in the hunger. Rather, when Ramadan goes, then we feel pain, we have to keep eating. Oh, what's this nonsense again? We have to keep eating, and the stomach gets upset, and difficulties come, and passions and lust increases, and the expense increases. Yes, the plates are full in the hands. Expenses increase. So brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the deen. It's a natural deen. Fitra. Allah says, wake up for tahajjud. Subhanallah. Why don't you get up? Because your nafs tells you not to wake up. A mu'min, it's natural for him to wake up and do sajda at the time of tahajjud. Natural for him to wake up, slowly, slowly, you'll get used to it. Nafs will go down. Suppose, whenever any order comes from Allah to do it, I swear by Allah, when you start doing it, it becomes easy for you in your life. Easy for you. It's natural, fitrat. Fitrat, natural way of life is the deen. Allah says lie, you practice lying, you'll get so much enjoyment that you never think that I'm lying. For example, and you take the, if Allah says don't lie, you will get so used to not lying that you'll take the biggest loss in the world, but you'll get enjoyment from the lying. Those actions Allah says don't do, when you stop doing them, you'll enjoy it because it's natural for you not to do that. You drink milk, how much enjoyment you get from drinking milk? Because it's natural, Allah has created milk for you naturally. You eat honey, you consume honey, it's a fantastic food, so fantastic and enjoyable. What is it? It's the stool of the bee. It comes out from its mouth. Imagine, Allahu Akbar. Allah said that this is shifa. This is cure for you. Subhanallah. So Allah's definition, natural things that Allah has created, told us to do, but we stop doing them. If we don't feel like doing, say, oh, you're talking rubbish. My nafs is saying wrong. Natural is what Allah is telling me to do. Subhanallah. Wake up, get up, do this action. Wake up, pray tahajjud. Wake up, go to salah. Natural. Definitely why Allah Ta'ala is saying they go to the masjid. It's natural for the human being to go to the masjid. There are big benefits to go to the masjid. You go on a journey, travel, work hard, go to another place, your body will be refreshed. Achieve unique experience in the masjid that you won't get in your home for praying. Impossible. So everything Allah has ordained for us is natural. Whatever our body needs, Allah has given to us. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, my Sahaba, do you want protection from that hell? From the intensity of the heat of the fire? If you want the protection, then Rasul Hazrat ibn Abbas is narrating this Sahih Hadith. What should we do? What amal should we do? Action. Rasul said, do one action. That create raham, mercy in your heart. Subhanallah. In your heart, create raham, mercy. Allahu Akbar. Raham should come in the heart. Someone's poor, upset, distressed, beautiful dua of Rasul, beautiful dua. Three times in one go, the Prophet made three dua. Ya Allah, save me from wrong and give me goodness. When I read that dua, I was amazed that where, and Allah, give me love for the poor people. Imagine, it doesn't match the three parts. I thought for a while, Subhanallah, may I give my everything to Rahmatul Alameen. The dua started and we arrived. Allah, save me and save our own, our family. Allah, save me from the sins. Save me from Jahannam. Allah, give me good deeds so I can get Jannah. Yeah, so Jahannam and Jannah, both. And then suddenly, Ya Allah, give me love for the poor people. Allahu Akbar, third part of the dua. This is the real path to paradise, the third part of the dua. First, Allah, save me from the sins, because sins will take me towards hellfire. So that's the first part. Allah, give me goodness, that will take me to Jannah. And the solution for both, if you want this, then Allah, give me love for the poor people. Now, I understand hadith in this way. Subhanallah. You got the title. He who got the title of Rahmah amongst the Nabis, and he who fulfilled the needs of the poor. What a great quality. Great quality. That he came to fulfill the hopes of the poor people from all the prophets. A great laqab title. Rahmatul lil alameen. Illa rahmatul lil alameen. He came with the title of mercy amongst the Nabis, and he who fulfilled the hopes, the desires of the poor people. Subhanallah. He had his distress for everybody, and he fulfilled the hopes of the poor people. What a great Nabi. He was rahmatul lil alameen, mercy to the man. Not rahmatul muslimin, rahmatul lil mu'mineen. No, rahmatul lil alameen, mercy to the universe. Even with the disbeliever rahmah, even with the Yahudi rahmah, even with the Sikh rahmah. Even keep asking, it doesn't matter who you worship. But Rasulullah kept on demonstrating raham to everybody. So that Nabi, and we are his followers. The first sabak, first lesson of his obedience is, if you want to become mine, then learn to be merciful like me. Learn to be merciful like me, he taught us. Subhanallah. Such a great lesson, raham, mercy. Allahu Akbar. Such a great lesson, raham, mercy. Great ibadat. Great ibadat. Worship. Being merciful. There are two parts to the in our life in this world. One is our desire that we, if we ask Allah, Allah fulfills all our du'as. We say this, don't we? So Allah Ta'ala says, my select servants, mustajib ad-da'wat, say subhanAllah. They are select walis of Allah. They are such people, when they do du'a, their du'a is immediately accepted. Mustajib ad-da'wat. Hazrat Sahib was also amongst those. SubhanAllah. So his du'as were accepted. I'm shocked and amazed that this was an announcement. Clear. That, for example, the acceptance of the du'a. Science failed at that time. I said, okay, fine, let's go there. Because he's mustajib ad-da'wat, Allah has given the strength. That this servant, if he asked me, the whole world, amongst the everywhere, Arab wa ajam, I've seated a man, if he does dua to me and ask, I will accept his dua. What do we call him? Mustajib ad-da'wat. Seek him, it's very hard to find someone like that. And it's very easy as well to find someone like that. How is it easy to find and how is it hard? It's hard because nafs doesn't accept a person like that. And easy so much, the sign of that person is what? There is mutabai sunnah, he follows the sunnah. Obedience to the sunnah. He has no love with nothing else. He loves the imam of Rasulullah. He loves the beard of Rasulullah. He loves the libas of the Prophet. He loves every action of the Prophet. Every footstep he will take that the Prophet took. So Allah says that person, his sign of that person is the ashik, the love of Rasulullah. He's the mustajib ad-da'wat. Say subhanallah. Good points are coming today, mashallah, due to the barakah of this gathering. Mashallah. So mustajib ad-da'wat, Allah's Nabi said what? Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu narrates this hadith, a beautiful hadith. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said that what did Rasulullah say? That look, so you want to be a person about whom Allah is guaranteeing that he's mustajib ad-da'wat. That I listen to his dua, whatever he asks, whatever other people ask him to do dua, I accept that dua as well. Subhanallah. So now what do? Allahu Akbar, to get to that status, then he's successful. We don't like a person like that who's mustajib ad-da'wat. We don't like people like that today. That has this quality now today in this day and age, in this generation. We don't like that person. We like those people, other things that they give to us. Those things you'll see now around you. You can see those things. So, one thing, what a great factor. And the other difficulty for us, big headache for us, one thing is the du'as accepted. What a du'a? If there's a stomach ache, oh, I go to the doctor, I want to put my hands up, Allah, I've got a stomach ache, Allah eliminated, tuck, straight away the stomach ache should go. Say subhanAllah. What great du'a this is, eh? What? Isn't it? What a great du'a. You have pain in your eyes, I don't want to go to optician, oh, let's go to mustajib ad-da'wat, someone who does du'a. Hazrat, please put your hands up. I remember one person, he had an extreme fever at that time. Ishaq was his name. He was Khalifa Ishaq, he was called. And he, mashallah, was a different type of jahil, ignorant in one eye. He was weak. And he was like a normal person. We were there on one side. You understand? He's a lottery poetry type person. He used to lie down and he used to get pain. He'd lie down, he'd toss and turn, side to side. People simple like that, you know, he'd have pain somewhere. You know, people from the village, people like the nomads at the time of the Prophet. So I saw him, we sat with adab, and obviously there was a lot of adab in Hazrat's gathering. Then after a while he got up and he came, and he said, he got a glass of water, a small glass, and he said, Hazrat, to Hazrat Sahib, he said, just blow into this water. He said in his dialect, you know, like different type of dialect. He said, Hazrat, blow into this water. I've got extreme fever at this moment in time, I'm sick. So he could be told, go to the doctor. Bilal Kamal, he knew that Hazrat Sahib was mustajib ad-da'wat. Before going to the doctor, I'll get success here. So Hazrat Sahib didn't reject him. Hazrat Sahib, when he doesn't reject something, then consider he's successful, that person. Otherwise, Hazrat Sahib can refuse as well. And he didn't say anything then either. He'd stay silent. Hazrat Sahib's rejection, never from his tongue did he say no to anyone from his tongue. SubhanAllah, I can't do this. His style was just, he didn't give the answer. He'd stay silent. If you said it twice, three times, Hazrat Sahib would say silent. Consider that, go, I'm not doing this. This was Hazrat Sahib's style, we'd understand. But if the action was to be done, first request, immediately Hazrat Sahib would accept. So when he said, Hazrat, blow into this water, do dam. I've got extreme fever, I'm sick, it's beyond my, I can't bear it. So Hazrat Sahib blowed into the water. He went to the side, drank the water. After a while he came and sat down with ease. Subhanallah. So brothers, mustajib ad-da'wat. So what did Rasulullah say? Allah's Nabi says, what did he say? Second factor for us, which is big difficulty for us in this world, upset, distress, sadness. Difficulties don't leave us in our life. Do they leave us the difficulties? No. You've all come, don't know how many people are here with difficulties, wife, children, problem, this problem, that problem, behind me, in front of me, left, to the right, sickness. Difficulties don't leave us today. Allah's Nabi Sallam, what guarantee is given? Do you have yakin in this? That Rasul come and gives the guarantee comes from one place, the master of Medina. All other guarantees, fuzul, waste, nonsense. Rubbish, all fruit. Remember, all other guarantees, there's only one guarantee that's accepted. Where does that come? From Madinatul Manawwara. So all directions turn, brothers, your direction to Medina. How? Ittabai Rasul. Imitate the Prophet's Sunnah, obey his Sunnah. Soon as you start implementing Ittabai Sunnah, the cool wind will come from Medina. Say Subhanallah. It will arrive. Have you heard my naat, the one that was released today, or not yet? How have I arrived there? How? I'm amazed myself. How did I get there? Yes, I was sat nicely in my room. How did I arrive to Medina? How? Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Yes, sometimes Ghubad-e Khizra, Rauda Mubarak, this wind and that breeze. How did I arrive there? So the answer I gave at the end, didn't I? The answer, I know no wasila, no means to arrive there. No method, no mode, no medium. Nothing can deliver you to him. Only one action. Ishq-e Rasool, love for Rasulullah. So do you understand my naat now or not? Those naats are not wasteful naats. In the morning I went, and after Isha I opened the Quran. Immediately the emotion overtook me, I closed the Quran. This is in the morning after Ishraq. You know when we left here? And according to my habit, I opened the Quran, I read it, and Ajib, unique emotion of to me. I said, what's happening here? Something else is happening. I closed the Quran, took the pen and paper, because not even pen and paper, I took my phone today. Not the pen and paper, Subhanallah. I said, let's take the phone. Very useful is the telephone. I said, forget the pen, paper. Today I'll take the phone. There's a button in which there's a volume button. Is it voicemail? What is it? The voice message. Record button. That's Isate, our champion, Umar. He knows all of this, yeah? So the record button, I pressed that. I don't know what happens, how it happens, because I recorded. Okay, let's start now. Subhanallah. 10 minutes after that, consciousness came, read Quran, prayed Salah, Alhamdulillah, I was grateful to Allah. Medina's journey, Allah Ta'ala enabled me to go on that journey to Medina. So what does this mean? The guarantee is fulfilled from Medina. No other place will give you guarantee. Guarantee, if you want to fulfill it, then become ghulam, servant, ashik of the Prophet. Don't fear on doing amal of the sunnah. What will the world say? What will he say? No, don't fear. When you make your face, change your face and make that face about which Allah says that he who makes the face and imitates my mahbub, then I will make him my mahbub. Yuhbibkumullah. I will forgive his sins. I will make him mine. That woman who changes her face and improves her appearance, her body, her style, her clothes, makes them just like Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu anha, style. Subhanallah. That man who changes his style, his ways, just like Abu Bakr Sadiq style, as Umar style, Zubair style, Talha style. Subhanallah. The heaven and the earth will start to be favorable to you. These aren't words of passion. I'm speaking, I'm alert, I'm awake. I'm not in a dream, I'm awake. I'm speaking to you. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that hadith, when I mention hadith, lots of points come out of the hadith, Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala, how he distributes the meaning of the hadith. Hadith and Quran, these are oceans, seas, oceans. Today this hadith, one man speaks 5 minutes, and the next person will come and speak. Third person will come speak a third thing. And by chance, if a friend of Allah comes, then he will lay down the ocean in front of you. He will give you one glass of water and quench your thirst. Somebody gives you ruhafsa and quenches your thirst. But the wali Allah, he'll give you the ocean and quench your thirst. He'll give you the ocean. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Does this happen or not? Tell me. Sit down and sit next to a wali Allah and experience it. In one go, he'll give you the ocean and quench your thirst of marifa, irfan, Allah's Qurb. So Allah's Nabi Sallam gives the guarantee of what? Do you remember what I'm telling you? What's the 2 points? Mustajib ad-dawat. You'll become the mustajib ad-dawat. Say Subhanallah. Guaranteed your dua will be accepted. And your difficulties will end. Guaranteed. 2 points. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, do you want this? They said yes. The Rasul said, do one action. What? Have raham on the people of the earth. Subhanallah. Your children, have rahmah on them. On your wife, have mercy. Your wife, we do a lot of zulm nowadays, lot of zulm to our wives. Our wives, have rahmah to them, on your children, have rahmah. Do rahmah on the people of the, those who have no one to ask for them today, have rahmah on them. Look at this point. Why? Because why did I say wife? Listen clearly to what I'm saying and listen to what I'm saying. I'm not giving a personal attack on anyone. I am sat on the musalla, the prayer mat of the Prophet. If these points meet with you, I'm not personally against you. I'm not attacking you personally. May Allah forgive me. Don't think the Hazrat Sahib saying it to me. Or saying it to me. I'm not even thinking about any individual person. You're not even in front of me. I'm just speaking in my enjoyment at the moment. This is Allah giving the cure to you and me. And me. Subhanallah. Maybe I'm also a sinner and a criminal in this point that I'm making. Maybe I'm also the same. Most of all, the pain of the zulm, the Prophet said, is when a person does zulm to his wife. That's the worst. Why? Because such a gift Allah gave to you here. We've got a bit of freedom in this environment, women. Rather, woman, she's given to you fully. She's in your control. Not as a mother's not with her. Her father's not with her. Her sister's not with her. Her cha-cha is not with her. Uncle's not with her. Completely, Sharia-wise, you are her hakim, her ruler. Her, you can say, her protector. And shaitan, he makes you angry most of all on your wife. Is this not the case? No one else. If someone speaks to you, you will bear that. Someone outside says to you, but inside, if your wife says this to you, then the storm will brew. The storm. Say subhanallah. The storm. Yes, is this pinching you what I'm saying? I'm not saying this to you. I'm not saying this to you. I'm not attacking anyone. Is this not the case? Pick up your hands if you've understood that I'm not saying it to anyone else. Pick up your hands if you don't think I'm personally attacking anyone. I'm saying from your heart, you accept this? Promise? Yes. I'm not criticizing anyone. Yes, this is a fact. So, for this reason, rahmah, see, the first practice of rahmah you should start where? Look, your wives will give dua, subhanallah, subhanallah, that, oh, success has come today, success. Whoever wants to be merciful in the heart, where should he start practicing? Where? From the home. And who should he start with? His wife. With his wife. Anger with the wife, shaitan makes you hot, intense, immediately cool yourself down. The tariqah, I'll tell you how to do that. The tariqah, immediately cool yourself down. Immediately, remember these words, there's a cure, the cure will come, the solution will come. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given us the cure for this. Mustajib al-da'wat, you'll become 100% guaranteed your du'as will be accepted. And Allah will start to accept your du'as if you have mercy in your heart. And distress will never stay with you. It will be detached from you. That's why these things happen. Because we have not taken hold of the real deen. We have not taken hold of the real deen, brothers. If we had taken and grabbed hold of the real deen, alhamdulillah, our condition, our situation would immediately transform. Here there's zulm, and there we're doing du'as to Allah. Here we're doing zulm, excess, oppression. On one hand, and then we're asking Allah, we're complaining to Allah. And then, on top of that, we are seeking assistance to do the wrong. Who are you trying to help? Allah, there's only one who will assist us. He's sat at the top, right at the top. But how will we arrive there? Because we are immersed in wrong, because our actions are wrong. Whenever you ask Allah for help, my brothers, when you want to seek request from Allah, first then look at yourself towards your heart. That how much raham is in my heart, that Allah Ta'ala will never give to him who has no mercy. Allah will never give to him who has no mercy. Listen to this hadith. As Ali, radiallahu anhu, I think, narrates this hadith. Different hadiths are coming to my mind, so I'm sharing them with you, subhanAllah. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stated, subhanAllah, ajeeb hadith, unique hadith, that no one will go into paradise. Announced. They all became upset, afraid. No one will go into paradise except for one type of person, one individual going to Jannah. The Rasulullah has said this, then paradise is closed for everybody. One individual will go to paradise. Who? He who has mercy in his heart, the merciful heart. Do you understand now? That's it. So the essence of the deen is in what? Said loudly. Raham, mercy. I'm not saying things for the sake of it. If you have raham, then your Allah will succeed. If you have raham, then your Quran will succeed. If you have raham, then your Ibadah will succeed. If you have raham, then your fast will succeed. If you have raham, then your Ramadan will be accepted. First and foremost, you need what? Raham, mercy. Now let's see. Kindness. Now let's see about me and you. How much raham do we have? Let's start from home. Let's start from home. Family. Open up the family situation. What's happening in my family at home? Inside my house? What's happening? Me, brother, sister, children, awlad, wife. What zulam we are doing with our wives. You here and I'm there. Subhanallah. You on this side, I'm in Saudi Arabia. A man used to meet when I used to go. I don't know how many years have passed. And the biggest zulm we do with our wives, with our wife. And then we blame others. So he said, every year, don't you go to Pakistan? I said, well, shall I earn here or shall I go to my wife and sit next to her? He used to say to me, Allahu Akbar. I said, next to who? Who are you talking about? He said, my wife. You're talking about wife. I said, yes, I'm talking about your wife and children. Don't you go to them? Don't you go to meet them? Ever? He said, it's been 5 years I haven't been. What a big zulm, oppression, injustice. He said, what? I'm earning here. I've come to earn money, to earn food, make the upkeep. You understand what I'm saying? This is the answer he gave. So raham, Allah Ta'ala wants raham, kindness, mercy. Okay, we made a mistake, I've made a mistake, you've made a mistake, somebody's making a mistake. Okay, no problem. No problem, no big deal. Solution's there. Allah says, ask for forgiveness. From that woman, ask for forgiveness. End of story. Always the dhulam, when you do oppression, when you start to try to make up for it, start with your wife, I did oppression to you, forgive me, you will go into Jannah, and I will also go into Jannah. Forgive me, wife. Today I've heard the masla, Hazrat told me the point. Hazrat Sahib, what he's saying is coming from Allah. It's coming from Allah. First and foremost, give matai to Hazrat that you've made me successful, that we've attained success. Yes, and immediately you'll go into paradise. So the reality is this. The first and foremost, we need to look towards our home family and spread rahmah, children, to their children, to their children, to the son or daughter in the home, that there should be no dhulam, no oppression. We should give the inheritance, their rights, their money, the expenses, and treat them with kindness. And don't compete if the other people are like this, I'm like this, the other person does this, I do this. No, my husband hit me one and I hit back two. No, he's like this. If your husband does this, then that's up to him. Yes, so you can't copy other people and bring that into your family. Then you can't travel together like that. If you start taking revenge on each other, raham, mercy. Nobody will go into paradise. Said Rasul, only he will go into paradise who will have raham, mercy, kindness. Hazrat Hasan radiallahu anhu, another hadith, subhanallah, that when the grandfather speaks, then what would the grandson say? Sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he said, my grandfather said this to me. Hadith is running. Hadith, what did he say? Hazrat Hasan, he said, my beloved grandfather, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said that salah won't take you into Jannah. No, lots of fast will take you to Jannah. No, lots of ibadah will take you to Jannah. Only one action will take you into Jannah, paradise. And that will be the pain in the heart. Pain for others. What is that? Raham for others. Pain for others. Regard for others. Allahu Akbar. Pain for others. Regard for others. Another hadith that you always hear, I feel like to share that again with you. It's a strong link with this. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrated different riwayas regards to this. And I'll tell you this hadith in this way, which I have read, which is Sahih Rabaya, Sahih narration. Two places I've read this hadith. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu has narrated this hadith that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated. He was requested, asked, that, O Prophet of Allah, should we be merciful to the animals? Subhanallah, say subhanallah. Should we be merciful to the animals as well? Rasulullah replied, yes, be merciful, kind to the animals as well. And then Rasulullah explained a story, say subhanallah. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu is narrating that Rasulullah said a story, and even in the previous generations, nations, there was a person, he was traveling. The previous ummas, older times, and he was traveling on a journey, and he was extremely thirsty. He was looking for a well of water, and obviously in the desert, hot climate. When he arrived to the well, he saw the well, and immediately he went down and he drank the water. And when he came out of drinking water, he was conscious. He saw there's a dog, and the dog was shaking with thirst, and he was sipping the water in the mud next to the well, and he felt pity. What's this dog doing? So immediately he jumped back down into the well. And he went down, he took his socks off, and he filled his socks with the water, came up, and with love, affection, he was najis, impure the dog, impure. He was a dog. He was a stray dog, an animal. and he didn't couldn't speak. But that man in his heart, there was rahm, mercy, subhanAllah. When rahm is in the heart, this is, he's a dog, he's a dirty man, impure man, disbeliever, zalim, oppressor. He did this to me, and he did riya, and he was against me, oppressor. He swore at me, he doesn't follow deen. No, the person who has rahm dil, rahm heart, aha, subhanAllah. Person who has a merciful heart, he is ashiqi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, listen what he said sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That people, listen to this event. He took his shoe off, his sock, and he filled it with water, gave the water to the dog. What happened? At that time, immediately it was announced that this man, whatever he does, whatever he was, but I have forgiven him immediately. Announcement was made. Why? Because he, the Wali Allah, didn't give him the water. No other dog gave him water, and he didn't give water to a mu'min. He didn't give water to a person who prays tajud. He gave water to an impure, najis, impure dog, which even if it died, it would have become dust and soil. He wouldn't have gone to paradise, wouldn't have gone to hell. You know, hisab, no kitab. But that man in whom was rahm, mercy for him, the whole makhluk creation, he distributes rahmah to. So this is a demand of our deen. Wadeen, where's this come from? Where we wander around without this? You grab hold of him, you beat people, I hit people. Subhanallah. Where's this statement come from? That I hit people, I beat people, I do zulm. Allahu Akbar. Then I consider that there's no one to do justice. Tell me. Mu'min, and he oppresses people, then he cannot accept oppression for other people. The mu'min, the true believer. How can he accept the oppression on other people? There's no way. He doesn't differentiate. What did Allah do? That this event, when it was explained, then the Sahaba were amazed. The Sahaba, the noble companions. They said that the animals, if this is the case, then what about the human beings? How do we treat them? So, Hasan radiallahu anhu stated, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that nothing, the fast, hajj, zakat, worship, we won't take these things, rather the kindness and generosity and mercy. The more you have that in your life, that is those actions, generosity and raham, mercy, because you have that in your heart, that will take you to paradise. So what did Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu say? Another hadith is coming to my mind. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Beautiful hadith. Aha. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. That if you take away the problems of people, Allah will take your problems away. If you take the difficulties away from people, Allah will take your difficulties away. If you forgive people, then Allah in the heavens will forgive you. If you take people's sadness away, Allah will take your sadness away. If today you accept people's excuses, you know, if people put forward excuses to you and you overlook them, if you accept that, then when no one is there to listen to you, your Rabb will accept you on that day. Oh, you are on the earth. If you do rahm on the earth, when you come to the heavens, Allah in the heavens will have rahm on you, mercy on you. What a great preparation Allah has given to the human being. What a great preparation. We have to earn rahmah from Allah. Allahumma arhamni, Allah have mercy, Allah have mercy. After that, Allah forgive me. First, arhamni. Allah's Habib says, du'as have beautiful effects and quality. Allah arhamni, arhamni. Allah arhamni, warhamni. Allah have mercy on me. Because without your rahmah, there's no maghfirah from you, Allah. There's no maghfirah from you. Tell me. First rahm comes. Allahu Akbar. Ask Allah for forgiveness. Ask Allah for forgiveness. When you ask Allah, do du'a, where do we go? We go to Hajj, Allah forgive me. We go to Arafat, Allah forgive me. Is this the case, isn't it? We go to Zamzam, well, Allah forgive me. We pray Salah, Allah forgive me. We break the fast, Allah forgive me. We do du'as, Allah forgive me. Before that, Allah Ta'ala says, no forgiveness, warhamni. First demonstrate rahmah, demonstrate your rahmah, your mercy. Not in the Kaaba will I look at you, not in Arafah will I listen to you, not in the Masjid will I listen to you, nowhere will I listen to you. First and foremost, arhamni, be merciful. Allah says, Allahu Akbar. Lot of detail of this subject. I have presented you, discussed this silsila to you, because we are all criminals. We are criminals. Why? Because in Ramadan, after Ramadan, we need to attain taqwa. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. Taqwa doesn't come from salah, doesn't come from Quran, doesn't come from ibadah. Taqwa will come when rahmah, mercy is generated inside us. Say subhanallah. Today, until today, has anyone practiced rahmah, mercy today? Speak honestly. Oh, fasting people. Have you practiced rahmah? Don't take what I'm saying badly. Has anyone thought today, before today, let me practice Ramah? Shall I tell you today? Even right now, you will be the people of Rahmah, mercy. Right now, kindness. Because Ramah has come to give us the cure, the solution. Practice from today. I swear by Allah, you will be the merciful people. I swear by Allah. He who in Ramadan, these principles we're discussing, the beginning of Ramadan, Allah instilled this into my heart. The beginning of Ramadan, that today is it, 22nd fast is passed, and we're on this topic. Ramadan has come to give to us. What is it come to give to us? We have to learn. Yeah, from the many days we're discussing the same topic, isn't it? In this masjid, taqwa. Allah's making us muttaqis in masjid, the taqwa. Subhanallah. May Allah make this masjid full. Because this masjid, what a great name they've given to this masjid. Masjid taqwa. What a unique name. So that people can come here to become muttaqis. So subhanallah, other points come to my mind. That without dhikr, a person cannot be a muttaqim. The more dhikr that's done in this masjid, no more other masjid does the amount of dhikr that's done in this masjid. When all the masjids are closed for dhikr, then we come here. When all the doors are closed, we come here. No, we go Zakaria here, there. Allah says, come here, back to Masjid Taqwa at the end, ultimately. Yes, Fajr, can we pray here? Ijaz bhai, Ijaz, yes, come. Why didn't you come before? Subhanallah. Yes, brother, we made this masjid for you. You said before that you can take this masjid. Subhanallah. Why? Because the name you've given, such a great name. Taqwa. So all the angels wonder, and where's Taqwa? Angels said only one jama'ah has got taqwa. Those people who do dhikr of Allah, who remember Allah, they have taqwa. Say subhanallah. So has Ali Murtaza not sent you into paradise? Masjid is giving you the masjid of the muttaqi, subhanallah. What intazam, preparation for the dhakirin who do dhikr of Allah. Allah's prepared for them. Do you realize now whose masjid is this? Do you realize now the people of the masjid, whose masjid is this? This is the masjid of the dhakirin. The muttaqis, this is their masjid, brothers. So we have come here to learn taqwa, so Allah said, that's why Allah Ta'ala is enabling us to speak on this subject, that Ramadan has come to make you muttaqis, and without being a muttaqi, you cannot get to Jannah, no fasting, no hajj, no salah, no dua, none of this will give you success without rahmah, without rahm. So how can we become muttaqis then? So you haven't done any action, 23 fasts have passed, give me duas, alhamdulillah, I'm saving you. I'm giving you the success. Look here. Subhanallah. Listen clearly. So let's come towards Ramadan now. Let's cure our issues. Ramadan, what did you bring as a solution? You came here to make us muttaqis. What do you say? Ramadan said, did you not hear the hadith about the Prophet that the hadith said this, the second point, the third point, that this month of Ramadan, it is the month of having pain for others. This is the month of regard for others, pain for others. Yani, it's come here to... This month has come to make you merciful in the heart. Why hasn't anybody noted this? Someone's running here, there, this is the month of this, the month of that. Soon as Ramadan comes, we start running towards ibadah, worship. No one runs towards taqwa. And the dhakirin, they run towards taqwa. The dhakirin, what a big difference. That we always in the morning from the first day, the discussion we're having about taqwa, people say that he doesn't talk about anything else. He doesn't talk about these subjects. Wherever you go, you'll hear these points. But the dhakirin, you will always hear the subject of taqwa. Subject of taqwa. So he's saying other things. No, he doesn't talk about Ramadan. He just talks about, this is the month of pain and regard. And this is the center point. This is the juice. The juice. This is the essence, the summary of Ramadan. And this is how you get taqwa. So tell me, if you don't have pain and sadness for others and regard for others, look how Ramadan has come to make you the muttaqi. Number one, Allah's Nabi said that this is the month of feeling pain for others. Yes, that this month has come to make you merciful in the heart. How? That here's the words, do an action that break the fast of other people. Ah ha ha. Subhanallah. What a solution our Mawla has given. What should you do? Not salah, not hajj, not reading Quran, completing Qurans, not sujood, not prostration, no other action. What any other words about this? What should you do? Break the fast of other people. Feed them. Feed them. Allahu Akbar. How many people have you fed, my friends? What do we say? Oh, when we say pain in the heart, break the fast of people. What do we think? There's a pinch in our hearts. We don't understand the hadith. Forgive me what I'm saying. I'm not saying we don't understand. But ajib ways, we don't accept, we don't understand the actual subject, the essence. Allah's Nabi said that if you do, break the fast. We think that feed the poor people. Feed the people who have nothing to their name. Feed the beggars. No, here's the cure. Here's the cure. And habit is being created. Instill the habit. Every person, non-people or strangers, others, everyone give them food.
them food. In this, Allah has put a quality for feeding, for giving the food, a quality. Very high stage people, those who are in need. Yes, we give them food, they are in need as well, but the cure hasn't come yet. The cure hasn't come yet. Here's the cure with mercy in the heart. Mercy in the heart is the cure. It's because of the people who don't have mercy in the heart. Your mercy should go to every person, every type of person. We should have mercy with our wife, with our children, with our auntie, with our grandfather and uncle, with everyone. So how will we attain this? You fed the poor person. You fed the poor person. So here, practice being given. What should we do? That break the fasts. Break the fasts of the people. People's fasts, break them. Subhanallah. So here then, we'll understand the deed. Sahaba Karam said that we will break the fast, but we don't have the strength that we can feed people food, feed, give them meat, and give them parathas. We can't do this. We haven't got the capacity. So why are you upset? Said Rasulullah. Allah and His Nabi says some beautiful style. That whenever hukam, an instruction is given, then they start from the lowest level. The capability of the lowest level. Never do they come from the top. When a hukam instruction comes to ibadah, it always comes that every normal human being can implement that. Then they will increase that and increase that and increase that. Not suddenly the muttaqi will do that or this man will do that. Rasulullah ﷺ always would address the person on the lowest level, that me and you, that not the rich person with the money, not the person who's wealthy will be a masjid in the heart, rather the fakir who has no money, who's only got one glass of water, even he will have the masjid in the heart and he has to attain Jannah, paradise. So here a unique subhanAllah solution, a hikmah was kept there, that was mentioned further, that don't be upset, don't fear, one date or one sip of water, even that is breaking the fast in the same way. Subhanallah. What do we attain from this? What do we attain from this? Two things are mentioned in this hadith. The respected scholars are present. What has been explained? Two things are explained. Two things will be attained. Subhanallah. 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 All the sins forgiven. All the sins will be forgiven. And freedom from hellfire. Subhanallah. Yes, freedom from hellfire. Has anyone done this? Actually, my brothers, give me a guarantee that, can anyone put his hands up and say that my salah will be accepted? Can anyone say, to put his hands up and say that the recitation of the Quran is accepted? No one. Can anyone say, all ibadah I've done is accepted? Subhanallah. Can anyone guarantee? No guarantee. But Allah's Nabi and Allah is stating that your eating is accepted. It's accepted. Your sins forgiven. Today you have fed someone, Zaid, Bakr, and to the rich man, the poor man, here another point I will unravel here as well in passing. So this, when he said that giving one sip of water or one date, we stop here. We just stop here. Yeah, we put the brakes on him. Oh, just one date, that's enough. You give a date, that's enough. A sip of water, that's enough for me. I don't need to do anything else. Then listen clearly. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, another hadith, subhanallah. Another hadith. He said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that he's made insan ghani. Some people have got money, wealth. Some people have got mal, wealth. But some people, despite that, it's not their father's money. It's not your chacha's money. It's not your money. That mal is being given to you, entrusted to you. Like if I say to you, it's my car, keep it for a while. Yeah, look after it. And so Allah says, giving you a favor, I've given you this item. Temporarily, I give you this mal. Don't think it's your money. It's not your wealth. No, I earned it here. I worked in a factory. I worked hard here. Allah says, nonsense, rubbish. It's not the case. It's not your money. I gave this to you. Allah says, this money. And now, I gave it to you for this reason that I won, that you are a good man. You're a good man. I liked you. I preferred you. I gave you some wealth. I gave you some qualities. Now, after that, your nafs, you need to control it. This mal, money, I gave to you for this reason. So you can benefit the people. This hadith, I'm showing, this is not a story. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. Allah said, I give you 3,000 pounds. It's mine. It's not yours. It's mine. I gave this to you, entrusted you. Those who are deserving, the people, give them the benefit. We count and count in this bank account, that bank account, that bank account. Hide it in that bank. How many accounts we open? Bank accounts. Close all the bank accounts. Open one bank account and that's the account of the akhirah. Subhanallah, open the account of the akhirah. Every man should have. If you're rich, you got so much money, wealthy, okay, that's fine. But it's not your money. You open a shop, you don't have the capacity, another person opens the shop, why doesn't it come to him? The takeover, the turnover, who are you? That person has got so much money, why is the money not coming to you? This is not the differentiation. Allah says, it's me who's giving. Someone's got more, someone's got less. Allah Ta'ala, Allah may... He gives the risk to who he wants. What a beautiful verse this is. That Allah says, I give to a risk to who I will. Not that is your shop that's giving to you, that your business is given to you, your properties are given to you. No, it's me who's given to you. I desired, I give to you. And then after that, you play games and you hide, I gave it to your benefit there, so you can benefit the people in the world. Now listen carefully what I'm saying, the date and the water, that what I'm trying to explain to you, I'm trying to share with you. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. No, I'm not saying that you should also do this. Understand, accept. If you don't accept, then leave what I'm saying. Why understand? I'm sharing with you why I understand. Subhanallah. Why do I understand this? Why am I explaining it to you? Because that fakir from his blessed feet, I learned this. So I'm sharing this with you. Yes, who somebody else explained to him, somebody else explained, say Subhanallah. And who explained to him? Subhanallah. Aha. Saharanpuri. Hazrat Saharanpuri rahmatullahi. Hazrat Sahib, my Sheikh, said that when I was a student and I used to study in Saharanpur 150 years, 200 years ago, I'm telling you, when Hazrat Sahib was alive, Hazrat Saharanpuri was alive and my Sheikh was there and he was revising hadith and I'm his student and you're sat in front of me. Subhanallah. So in other words, you're not listening to me, you're listening to the education of Hazrat Saharanpuri Sahib. Affairs of Saharanpur I'm delivering to you. Oh, Allah's name, with it beyond the boundaries, I say, there's anyone today that you can show me that is getting the fares of Hazrat Saharanpuri today? Show me. For Subhanallah, on the second, third level, me, my Sheikh, and then Hazrat Saharanpuri, and he learned Hazrat Saharanpuri rahmatullahi. Subhanallah, great teacher. So you don't even accept this fares today. You run away from me, from the gathering. That's why you say, I'm Jahil. Oh, he's illiterate, take him out of it. Fine, I accept I'm illiterate. But my Sheikh was not Jahil, Subhanallah. He wasn't Jahil. Hazrat Saharanpuri wasn't Jahil. He wasn't illiterate. So Subhanallah, he said, look, the point I'm explaining to you, Ajib, unique lesson, is written in the kitabs. Hazrat said that there was a student there. And who's that student? Who used to teach him? Hazrat Sheikhul Hadith was my colleague. We used to travel together. And his father, Hazrat Yahya, was the teacher. His was Ustad, Hazrat Yahya. The Ustad of Hazrat Sheikhul Hadith. And my Sheikh, Hazrat Sahib, was studying, class fellow of Hazrat Sheikhul Hadith. He said, where did the food come from? He said, he used to feed me the food that used to come to me, because he was my friend of my father, my friend Hazrat Sheikhul Hadith, and his father, Hazrat Yahya, was a great wali Allah, and he was Sheikhul Hadith, the teacher. I'm telling you the stories of my Sheikh, say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Whose children you are. I'm Jahil, I accept. But his feet are picked up, he was a great Sheikh. He said, my Sheikh, that I used to study with Hazrat Sheikhul Hadith was my class fellow. The student, the whole world, Hazrat Sheikhul Hadith, Mulana Zikri Sahib, was my class fellow. And his teacher, his father, Hazrat Yahya Sahib, today, Subhanallah, that he revived the dunya, Ali Murtaza. And he revived the dunya in another way, and your Yah revived the dunya in another way, and you revived the dunya in another way, Subhanallah. And did he not make us alive, Hazrat Sahib, my Sheikh? He said that when we'd study, my Ustad, his father was our Ustad, and we learned the sabak together. And Hazrat Sahib said, food for me didn't come. Rather, food, where did it come? Hazrat Saharanpuri, from his home, the food would come to us to eat. Subhanallah. Such human beings from his house, even if a dust comes into your plate, then you are so rich, you're wealthier than the people that were heavens and earth. And he studied Bukhari, Mu'tam Malik, and he studied this. Imagine what a personality he was, where the food came from. This is Hazrat Sheikh Ali Murtaza, my teacher, who this person who's not even capable, his fares is coming today to this garden. From where? Hazrat Saharanpuri's fares is coming today. Subhanallah. I'm not telling this to you to show off. I've not even spoken about myself. 25, 50 years, have I spoken about myself? Have I ever showed of myself? I have no desire, nor did my Sheikh desire this. Such a great statement. Such a great man. I tell you with sincerity that nobody can come to me with this great status and tell me, Sheikh, has anyone got this? And you are sitting and taking this fares. Where? In Darul Taqwa. Darul Taqwa, you're sitting and getting this fares. Time to break the fast. I need to summarize. Inshallah, next time we'll continue the discussion.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Salatu wassalamu ala Sayyidina. Ya Allah, Tum Pirahim Parma. Ya Allah, Tum Ayim Khud Parma. Ya Allah, Tum Ali Gunah Maaf Parma. Ya Allah, Jom Se Galti Hi Maaf Parma De. Ya Allah, Amal Islah Parma De. Ya Allah, Galti Insan Se Ho Jati Mere Mawla. Ya Allah, Tum Se Maaf Parma De. Jis Se Ne Zulum Ziyati Ki Mere Mawla. Hame Taufiq Taba Himmat Ada Parma. ہم اس سے جا کے معافی مانگیں اپنی اصلاح کرائے میرے مولا یا اللہ تمہاری اس مجلس کو قبول فرما یا اللہ تمہاری اس مجلس کو قبول فرما وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ علیہ خیر خلقہ محمد و آلہ صحابہ اجمعین برحمتہ